My name is Jeff Lerner, and I interview elite performers from a wide range of disciplines, entrepreneurs, athletes, celebrities, scientists, artists, and more. This is Unlock Your Potential. Welcome to another episode of Unlock Your Potential. Jeff Lerner, your host, always so thrilled to be back with you, having amazing conversations with amazing human beings. Today is one that I'm super excited about and is really special, dare I say, near and dear to my heart, because I'm getting to have as a guest one of my closest friends in the world, Mr. Todd Campbell. Todd is also the chief of transformation at Entre Institute, and he's also my partner in our events company. And he's one of the foremost experts in the world on personal growth and development, and has an amazing story, and is like, he's such a dear friend. I'm actually like struggling with an intro because all the things I want to say about him are like, A, I don't know if we should talk or we should share that. But more than that, it's just like, it's all so particular to our relationship. So I'm going to leave it there and let you speak for yourself. Todd, welcome to Unlock Your Potential.
Well, thanks. No, I feel the same way. It's kind of like a conversation between friends. So I hope everybody joins us.
Right.
No, it's been awesome getting to spend the last couple of years in pursuit of excellence at a level I hadn't up to that point in the pursuits with you. And I can tell you as little or as much as you want to know, because either way, it's going to be something you already know, but the guests may not. So what do you want me to share with them?
Well, I'm going to start with the start, I think. I've heard your story several times in different variations. Why don't we talk about, you know, let me just set this up for the audience. You used to be in the construction business, and now you're in the human transformation business. One yeah. doesn't necessarily predict or correlate to the other. So obviously something happened and a transition was made. So maybe you can take us back and tell us that story.
Very well. Yeah. I was very clear about a few things. I wasn't going to work for anybody else. Had full ride scholarships to college on academics and sports, and to my dad's great dismay, he being a police officer who retired from that just because of the politics and was in construction, he thought I'd lost my mind until about 4 years later, when a lot of guys that went to college came back and started working for me. But went into the field of construction and, marble tile, granite, all these things, and actually took off. We really created something massive and at one time had as many as, 20, 30 other subcontractors working for me, large housing developments, everything. And along the way, I had managed to do something right. I married my high school sweetheart and, still growing into that to this day, 30 plus years later, just about to celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary. But bottom line, we thought we had traveled. We thought we had done some things. We had both done fairly well. She was also had her own businesses and had kids, and pressures multiplied. And the truth was, until my wife, my self-esteem, my self-value, I kind of, let's just say, didn't own it. Drew myself to be around those who would treat me exactly as I felt about myself, which was, not lovable and not worthy. And everything changed in an instant when I met my wife, because if somebody that amazing could love me, maybe there was something there. And so throughout the first part of our marriage, relationship, everything, things were amazing. And then add the businesses, kids, all these pieces. And I found myself just totally a white hot dumpster trash fire. To be honest with you, I had everything I should want, but I didn't even want it. People told me, I want the life you have. And I felt guilty because I was stressed out. I didn't know how to handle anger, self-doubt, feeling like I was burnt at the end of the fuse, not enough left to give. Felt like I was going to come unloaded on my children because that's something I had experienced, read the statistics, all these things. And for lack of better words, found myself at an intervention. Pulled up to my house one day. Every vehicle I knew was there. Couldn't even park in the driveway. Had to walk up. And my dad met me at my own door. And hadn't seen that man, let's just say, cry hardly ever. And he met me at my own door crying. He said, it's all my fault. You're so messed up. And so I knew I was in for a pretty interesting evening. And pretty much my wife had gotten anybody she thought I might listen to together, because I was about to lose it all. anger problems, absentee father, overworking, workaholic, no balance, short fuse. And through those conversations, let's just say I would have said anything if people would just leave me alone. So I agreed to taking anger management, time management classes. Then I ended up talking to one of my best friends. He actually worked with me and for me. And he said, you know, that'll wear off like a sunburn for you. So I went on a deeper path and got into personal growth and development and really found a hunger in me to, you know, take it on as such a veracity. I ended up being one of the head facilitators for the longest running personal growth and development company in the world, and evolved past where that would go, started my own things. I just got voracious about human beings living their potential. And if I could do this, if I could create this life and have these paradigm shifts and see the world differently and truly take my gifts, put them at the forefront and leverage them. And then out of that kind of gratitude in my heart, be able to support other people in living their dreams. I find myself now 23 years later, literally just on the second turnaround, voracious as heck, and doing things better than we've ever done them in experiential growth to give people those opportunities to find out who they really are and answer the question I think everyone should answer, which is, if the world never told you who you had to be, who would you choose to be? And to take that choice back. So,
wow.
It's been a lot over those years, but that's it in a nutshell.
So obviously I've you know, heard your story and multiple permutations, and there's other things we can tie in. I'll just state for the record, I definitely want to talk about your experience with cancer. I think that's a crucible that the story would be incomplete without bringing up. But before we go there, you know, in hearing you tell that story this time through this lens in this context, the thing that comes to mind for me is, I think it's a great case, and I want to unpack this a little bit more, of it seems like your strengths had become your liabilities, in a sense. There's that classic dynamic, and had led you to a point where it wasn't working. But it sounds like through personal, I mean, because I know you really well, so I'm applying some additional knowledge to this statement, but it seems like through the process of personal growth and development, and what began as a, call it a self-reclamation project, but that turned into a service to others project, you were able to transmute your certain traits back from being liabilities back into strengths. So what had been strengths had stopped working and become liabilities, but then you were able to reframe them back into strengths, because I know how you show up now. And I have to imagine a lot of that force, a lot of that, call it idealistic insistence on the way things ought to be and not settling for how things are, and other things I would describe you as, I could see how poorly managed they would turn you into a very difficult person, a hostile person, or an aggressive person, or an unreasonable person, or a prickly person. But now those same traits are why you don't settle, and you're so adamant about helping others push for what's possible. And so I wonder if you could, through that filter, talk about your experience of, like, because I think that's so inspiring to the audience to say, hey, all the raw materials that may not be working right now, through different framing, can be exactly the source of your superpowers.
Well, you know, it's interesting to think about it that way. And you're absolutely right. When your greatest adversities can become your greatest strengths. But, you know, I grew up with a few things. I refuse to lose. You don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't steal, obviously being a police officer's son. but I never, biggest thing is I never knew how to control my emotions. It was like full on and full off. And yeah, when my back was against the wall or the chips were down, I would rather have the ball in my hands than anybody else's in the last 3 seconds of the game. But where that can show up as a great strength, in other words, if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. If it doesn't matter how hard it is, you just get a better amount of effort towards it. They can also burn your life down. And that's what was happening, because what I found was I literally just, without even knowing, put my way on everybody else. And because I was always the most certain, it left no room for growth. It left no room for individuality. It left no room for my wife to be respected and treated as the amazing queen she is. It left no room for my boys to feel unconditionally loved. It left no room for the spaces around me to have anything other than conflict and resistance. And then to have that, but I always win in the end, it came across like venom. And it left me very alone, very righteous, and very unfulfilled at the end of the day. Everybody around me had ended up walking on eggshells, wondering what's going to set them off next, because when I ran that hot and cold with my emotions. And so learning about me to a point of, you know, if I feel resistance in this, why, what is it in me that I'm not willing or dealing with in me that then that shows up? Because it's not somebody else, it's me. To look at that, maybe my version of loyalty and how I do my word and friendships, it's unfair to hold everybody that expectation because maybe they've never experienced that. And then if I make them wrong for supposedly, no, this is here, it was just such a myriad of things, but it all cracked open and took loose when I, out of experiential opportunities, because you know what we learn most from is not what we read, see, hear, it's what we experience. So many of those things were reinforced in me as a self-preservation, a survival back to, you know, our reptilian brain. And then to move into a phase of life where I say, I want abundance. I want to create a childhood different than what I had for my children. I want to, you know, create the most amazing number 10 relationship with the woman that I would die for. I want to truly have a place where people that work for me don't feel, let's just say pressed down anything. They feel they work with me and we're creating something bigger. None of that was going to get to happen this way. And I could have been very righteous, very alone. By starting the personal growth and development work, I had an opportunity to see something different. And that's the biggest thing I'll say to anybody is knowing better consciously does not make you perform better. If anything, it can make you turn in on yourself and tear yourself down. But when you know better and then you can inspire yourself better, that's the biggest thing. And I'll be honest with you, that battle with cancer you mentioned, it was one of the greatest gifts of my life. I took all this work. I did it ferociously. I was turning everything around. My businesses were flying. It was the most successful time of our lives. My wife and my relationship was off the hook. This was about an 8-year journey. So much so that we're bringing a third child into the world and going from on the verge of divorce to that and in full choice about it. And my wife was 8 months pregnant with our third child when they diagnosed me with stage 4 cancer. Hodgkin's lymphoma is about 89% riddled with tumor in my whole upper torso. And it was all the work that I did to get what I wanted, to be that father, be that man, to be that person, to inspire others, to do all those things that I was not going to give up. No one at that point was going to tell me what I could or couldn't do. So they told me I had about an 18% chance of being around long enough to see him walk. Send grievance counselors into my room after they removed the largest of the masses under my collarbones. So I had movable function. And they sent grief counselors into my room to tell me, you know, I ripped every port out of my body. I got out of my bed and I kicked their asses out of my room because no one was going to tell me after finding me what I could or couldn't do, because there's no man that will ever love my wife the way I do and no man that will ever be the father to those boys that I knew I was capable of being. Finally, all the self-doubts, all of it. And so it was a battle, and it was the valley I needed to prove it all again. And that's the one thing I'll say to any of your listeners, Jeff, because so many of us reach heights or pinnacles or these great spots, and then it goes away. But once you've found that person in you, because, you know, economies may change, things may change out there, situations, relationships, everything. But as long as you have you and your belief in yourself, you can recreate it this fast. And so, got down to 120 pounds in that battle, everything else, and then came back ferocious. And that's when I actually was invited to go and start to tour and really teach these principles. And had so many great mentors along the way. And that's, as I said, been ironically, Caden, the youngest of the three boys, Traven, Branson, Caden, he will be 20 on the 17th, and we're a week away. And so that's been.
Yeah.
And those strengths that I now have, the tenacity, reframed for a purpose, the non-willing to compromise, reframed to literally, let's just say, a true integrity, the all these traits that were going to be there anyway, that I was going to get by on grit. Well, now what if I can get by with grace and use of those levers? It's changed everything. And I know I wouldn't have the things in my life without that. And that's what we love about the experiential growth work that we get to teach in the trilogy. Obviously, the first class being insight. No, we're there. I looked at it. I'm wearing the t-shirt, your book's on the desk. It was like, didn't even think about it. But at any rate, insight, impact, and influence, to see people take back who they were meant to be, to shed the pain, not the events, but the pain they're still putting themselves through. Human beings, the only species on the planet, to my research, that will make themselves pay as many as 10,000 times for one mistake. To get past that, to embrace your strengths that you either got out of those situations or that sometimes even got you into those situations, mm-hmm. and how now? And what would have to be true to have the life I want, and am I doing it now? It's. I hope I never stop being a great student, because that's where all the beauty's at.
So I wanna go back. I mean, I wanna call this out and declare it and make sure that we're being accurate and precise in our description of it. But what I'm hearing you say is you had these, call them personality traits or character traits, these ways of being, and you had maybe some ineffective learning on top of them that were having them come out in a way that wasn't working for you. Sort of the difference between doing right and needing to be right, or let's call it.
Oh.
And then you worked through that, got clear on how to more effectively utilize your strengths, started experiencing the joy and the success and the fulfillment from that in all different areas of your life. And if I'm hearing you describe it, we're particularly clear on who Todd Campbell was, who Todd Campbell is. And then cancer came along and said, ha, 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 ha. Now that you're clear and now that it's all working, we're going to go ahead and end the game. And you said, no, because I'm clear and because it's working and because I have more to do, we're not going to end the game right now. And let me tell you, and you essentially showed cancer against, I mean, describe, tell me, am I capturing that right? And describe to me the real heart of what happened. I mean, I want to hear about you actually kicking those assholes out of your room because they were telling you you were going to die, or like whatever it was. I want to hear about it.
Well, to just unpeel the onion a little further, there were insights that came along the way. Over that battle with cancer. But the biggest thing was like you said, I wasn't going to let anybody rip that away from me again. Now that I knew that side of me, that piece of me, nobody was going to tell me I could be less. Because if I really look at it, you know, a lot of these limiting beliefs, as we talk about these programs, I was too much, too loud. I spent all my time with the principal. I was wrong. I was too independent in my thinking. I was, you know, all these things that didn't fit into our traditional educational system. I guess the biggest way I can describe it is once I found out and accepted me for who I was, because I didn't need their approval in the first place, but as long as I didn't have my own, I wouldn't go anywhere. There was nothing that seemed out of realm. But the other biggest piece was, is I saw it then in a way of to do what I wanted to do, because I made a declaration. It was funny. I made a declaration. There were only 7 facilitators worldwide for the personal growth and development that I was going to go do. And I had been invited, let's just say, to a short list. And I made a declaration, I'm doing this.
What year was that when you made that declaration?
This would have been in 2003.
Okay.
No, excuse me. In 2000. 2000, end of 2000, beginning of 2001. And what I had to come to terms with is to see it as the gift it was, because when I made that declaration to the world and at a heart that I wanted to give my gifts that hard to it and everything else, you're going to be tested in that. Man, will you be tested? And I love the test now where I used to back away from it. But 7 days after making that declaration is when I got the diagnosis. And basically the universe decided to give me exactly what I asked for, and that it didn't look like I thought it should, but I still had to learn empathy and compassion at a new level. I had to learn grace. I had to learn receiving support. I had every freaking real fear I had that was not even rational came in one package. And to go through that growth and be an acceptance of it, no matter how bad it got, or, you know, for my wife, it was great. We shared pregnancy cravings in her last month. You know, I'd been so sick, I couldn't eat this, that, and the other. We both wake up at 2 a.m. and we have a craving for pickles and hot wings. And so there was bonding there. But
so she was pregnant and you had chemo, and they both do weird things to your
system, right? And then here's the other thing that happened is, you know, my wife and I, you know how devoted we are to each other. And that's why you and Jacqueline are such a great mirror for us, because it's the same. But I had to do it my way. And I went to the cancer treatments because until they flattened my, I have something called a heart murmur on short one bicuspid in my aortic valve. So I couldn't receive radiation. So it was just straight bone marrow and something called the MOP treatment, and that, which was chemo. Once they had, but going through that process, I had to do it my way. I drove myself as many times as I could, everything. But I pulled up to her house one day, and the chemo had taken over. It was like a day and a half after, and I was still working. I had to do it my way. Couldn't get out of my own truck. I was pounding my legs. I remember it wouldn't work. And I had to call my wife from the truck, and she comes out 9 months pregnant, has to carry me in the house. And in her eyes, she never once looked at me with what I may have seen in the mirror. Not enough of a man, the shame of not even being able to walk or control yourself or anything. It was just this unconditional love and gratitude, the way she looked at me, and it made all the difference in the world. And I think that was one of the times that if I had never bought in 100%, or there was any reserve, or it was gone. And I wouldn't turn my back on that no matter what. So they were going to carry me out. So I was able to turn it into the lesson that I needed, as far as to learn that grace, that empathy, that compassion, that patience, the things that needed to go along with my gifts to make them effective. And so looking back, you know, now it was the greatest, hardest times of our life, because everything we do now is possible because of it.
You know, I resonate so much with your story and your experience, and you know, obviously we share a lot, because I feel such a kinship, and I gotta think there's just so many people out there who are gonna relate to this, that it's like you do all this work to build, let's call them hard skills. Maybe a hard skill is the authoritative communication, or, you know, eloquence with language, or certainly any sort of technical or practical skill associated with the work you want to do, right? We spend all this time building these hard skills. But if underneath that, we have, let's call them a variety of soft injuries or soft liabilities, which could be wounded self-esteem, it could be feelings of unworthiness, it could be shame, it could be a lack of intrinsic value, or thinking that our worth is based on the application of those skills to produce a result rather than just something that's inherent, or whatever, that it's actually a completely different set of skills. Call them the soft skills, like you said, empathy, or surrendering to your lovability because you could no longer deny that you were in the presence of unconditional love as your pregnant wife was carrying your wrecked body into the house, or whatever, that it's these soft skills and to some degree these soft acceptances and these beliefs that we have to surrender to or allow for ourselves that actually unlock the value of the hard skills and allow us to go achieve our dreams and our potential.
Well, what I'll say is they're the X factor. And for anybody who's ever chased success, I mean, you got to have a certain amount of belief in yourself. You got to have, let's just say, at least an unwillingness to accept status quo or norms or good enough. You got to have those things. But when we go out and we start to chase it, because I really believe every human being has everything they need to be successful in their life if they actually reclaim their life. They've got the right gifts. But to chase it, and you got to have grit and you grind and it's hard and everything else. But when you add those soft skills to it, it is literally the law of attraction at its finest. That's when you start to attract it. You start to attract the people you need. You start to attract the situations. You start to attract the opportunities. And for anybody that's listening to this, if you have worked your ass off and don't yet have what you want, it is not you. Now, could be some of your thinking, could be some, but it is not that you don't have it. It's adding these soft skills. That's why I thank God every day for what I get to do and what I get to give to the world, because to hold up that mirror, and that's what we do. We hold up a mirror in these events and they get to go and really see it. And then when you can believe all those things in yourself, the soft skills take them back on. Every asset you had is now 10X because, and then you're using it to attract things. And I'll just say it's mind blowing for some people. Oh my God, it's coming in waves and I couldn't get a drip out of this system before. And the only thing that freaking changed is me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so cool. And I think you've set up something that, you know, is an answer to a question that we get a lot directly or probably more often indirectly, which is, you know, Entra, the business that we're both, you know, incredibly passionate about and deeply invested in terms of our life's work. Like, it's on the surface, it's a, call it a business or entrepreneurship training platform, but it's really a personal growth company. And what we're talking about is why. Because yeah, we're going to teach you skills, but it's your being, not your doing, that's going to unlock the power of those skills. And for that, we have a completely different type of work we need to do.
Well, and you bring up something amazing, because I don't think that be, do, have concept is totally foreign to a lot of people, right? So many people think they got to have something, so they allow themselves to do something so they can be who they want to be, or they think they got to do something so they can have something.
Right.
In that concept, people get best intended and still not an application of what it really means. Okay, then I'm going to be in my office more. I'm going to be more diligent. I'm going to be, in other words, I'm going to, because it's not working, I'm going to double down on it and make it, you know, even harder. But to truly separate yourself from that and really, you know, what am I bringing in every moment? Because I truly believe, you know, it's, we take this on in the course as well. 80% of the world out there with a few subtle shifts could start to have more of everything they wanted. But it's because they're in reaction right now. 80% of the population, this is just my opinion, not going to list a Harvard or a Princeton study, but 80% of people out there in reaction to the economy, what my neighbor did, traffic on the road, how my wife was this morning that, you know, I took personally, X, Y, Z, you know, and the reason I say 80%, it controls 80% of the decisions, the new experiences they're not having, the repetitiveness, everything. If you can start to literally, you know, let's just say get one step above in your perceptions and truly your ownership of your own emotions, your own feelings, start to see the world and yourself in it, not just see what it's doing to you, all these pieces, you go to an area called respond. You can respond to an opportunity, respond to a niche in the market, respond to a conversation. But if you really go all the way, there's about 5% that are initiating, and every thought I'm initiating what I want in my future, and every action and every detail, everything. And that's why this work is so valuable, because you can teach people the skill set. Without a great skill set, and I'm not the diggy, you know, let's just say personal growth and development guy, sit around and wish, nothing's going to happen. Action trumps everything. However, to get to that point where, again, then out of all of these things you're initiating, right? You're taking action. You can have a great skill set. You got to have that, right? And especially in today's market, but without adding the mindset to see it differently, to have these observations, everything, the skill set will never be fully utilized. Just like you can have a great mindset and sit around and false positive everything and yet have no liberty in your freaking life and nothing that's going to be legacy. And so that's why I love what we get to do here. Cause yeah, we're an Entra. Is it a business opportunity? Hell yeah, to learn a skill set that is going to be so applicable that you can probably change your life literally and lives around you if you would just apply it. You bet. But that probably only exists because it's there for everybody if, you know, the opportunity is there. But will you take it? Will you go through the thick and the thin with it? Will you believe in yourself enough to put it out there once you've built it? Will you? And so with both of those, that's why there's nowhere I would came out of retirement to be. There's nowhere else I'd rather be. And who else I would be, because this is like when opportunity meets preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare yourself in that where you don't get the opportunities. So I could go on and on, but you have to have both.
Yeah, one of the things that came to mind as you were talking, you know, even the distinction between hard skills and soft skills, I don't think completely captures what we're talking about, because there are techniques for applying what we're talking about that could perhaps be described as skills, but there's something more fundamental underneath the application of the thing as what might be called a skill. And the semantic idea that came to mind as you were describing it is, you know, I think we think that success is like the way you described it. You say, oh, I need to be like, you know, as soon as I accept the be, do, have model, right? That first I need to work on my being, and that'll naturally change my doing and ultimately result in my having, you know, more or different, whatever I want. That as soon as we say that, you're right. People immediately go to, okay, how do I need to be more? I need to be more diligent. I need to be more disciplined. I need to be more active. I need to be more intelligent. I need to be more whatever. But even that, I actually think is potentially misdirecting.
Oh.
Because it's actually, you just need to be more yourself.
Yes, aligned. You know, for any one of the people that are going to be watching this, whether it's, you know, now, a year from now, anything, do one simple test for me. Just to ask yourself, in the last, let's give it a pretty open window, in the last 6 months, have you had at least one day where you were actually in alignment with yourself? And what I mean by that, you can categorize it, because it is personal mastery as individual. I'll give you the core concepts. You take your brilliance to it. And that is that emotionally I was in tune, right? That what I was feeling, what I was experiencing, what I was thinking, what I was saying, and who I was allowing myself to stand in were in alignment, right? You can call it in the zone. You can call it, you know, I woke up on the right side of the bed and everything. What kind of results did you go out and create on that day? I mean, I've heard things like, well, mind blowing. I got more done in 6 months than I did in one day than I did in 6 months. It finally took on the hard conversations, finally was able to patch this relationship. Actually, everything I'd been working for on sales calls and this wasn't working. And then boom, I had my record day. Perfect. And then if you play with that, well, okay, you weren't necessarily doing anything different, right? You weren't being more diligent, da, 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 da. It was the beingness or the alignment of self that you brought to then the activities that you may not have even changed, and suddenly a totally different result. You are the biggest quantum X factor there is, and people feel you more than they hear you. They are attracted to you, or your energy is repulsing them. And it's not about the techniques, the eye contact and the former relationship before you ask, make 5 deposits before you ask for none of that. And we as human beings, nobody can teach you how to be the most authentic, most vulnerable and accepting, perfect in self-expression, self-cleaning, not wearing anybody else's emotion. Nobody can teach you necessarily that for you. And I hope everyone surpasses their mentors. They can show you a path. What I love about what we get to do in experiential growth is hold the mirror and they figure it out. When we say it, it's one thing. Okay, you're a notified authority. You've got all of these resources, all of this success to track from everything else. When we say it, it's one thing. When they start to say it, it's truth. And they're saying it because they're feeling it, they're believing it, and they're showing the result in their life. And that's what I love about Entre. Is you look at the success stories, you look at people, what they're doing. My Facebook is flooded right now with people going, I found myself, I found my purpose, I found my passion, I stopped hiding from myself, I am ready to show myself to the world. Because one thing I talk about is the law of the 10 versus the 10,000. As long as these other things run you at any level, and some of you are playing at a $500 a hand blackjack table right now, and some of you are playing at a $50,000 a hand table, same rules, can your emotions handle it? Is that, and man, I know I was going somewhere with this. It was law of 10 versus 10,000.
Yeah.
You got 10 people around you that'll keep you from doing everything you supposedly want to do because you won't allow yourself to be. And that is your brother-in-law that goes, oh, what, you're going to start another business? That is your neighbor that goes, get a real job, get some kind of part-time degree. It's maybe your ex-boss, the relationship that failed that you know still is watching you and wants you to do worse than them, and all these things. And it's those 10 people that to keep most people from operating, or at least giving themselves a chance to take something on like we do, where they could free themselves. And it is such a prison because there are 10,000 people standing right behind them that want your services, that want your brilliance, that you're one step further than they are, and they get so much gain from it. And contributions like that could start to tip and change this world that we live in. But it's usually because we won't let ourselves be in those spaces. Those 10 people control what's possible for the 10,000 people standing behind them. And let's just say that's a Travis.
Hey there. Sorry to interrupt the show, but I just have a quick favor to ask. So we recently broke into the top 100 podcasts in the entrepreneurship category. We've been hovering around 75, and we're really trying to push up into like the top 20 and grow the impact of the show. So if you enjoy what we do here and you're a supporter, the biggest thing you could do to help would be to leave us a positive review. Whatever platform you're listening on, you should be able to leave a quick review. Let the world know what you like about the show. Thank you so much for your time, and let's get back to it.
Yeah, I mean, that is so flipping true. I just have to declare. I mean, it's taken me back to fall of 2018 when I kind of told my kids, like, hey, I think I want to start putting out some social media content. Like, I even was like sheepish about it. Like, I'm not trying to become an influencer or something. I just want to like say some stuff. But the reality is I was trying to become a person who had influence in a structured, syndicated way. That is an influencer. But even my own language was like sheepish about it. But at least I had love and support from my wife and kids that allowed me to ignore that, because there were, I could rattle them off for you. Who are the 10 people in my life that are going to think that it's absurd that some 40-year-old dad is like putting out content, trying to, you know, make waves in the world? Not just like, hey, I had a kid's birthday party, here's some cute pictures, like if you love my kids. No, I mean like coming out with like bold, assertive, you know, opinions and perspectives to try to influence people. Like, there were 10 people that I frankly was very close to letting me stop myself. And now, because I didn't, there are literally hundreds of thousands of people who have been impacted. And what a ridiculous, absurd, pathetic travesty it would have been to sacrifice having an impact on hundreds of thousands or 10,000 or maybe it's only 700, like whatever. Because there's a handful of people that don't want the best version of you to thrive anyways.
And you look at it, and for anybody that's watching this, if it, again, this doesn't make you, let's just say, less, if that's been the law that's handled you up to this point, it, okay. And it doesn't have anything to do with your skill or anything else. And chances are, funniest thing ever, the 10 people, by the way, are never going to buy your product, never going to become your target audience, never going to want to have any. The only time you'll hear from those 10 people is once you become so successful, they ask if you're hiring. Just straight out. But I've seen this proven over and over. But what you said is so magnificent, because it's in that beingness, who you, if you would not have allowed yourself to be who you really are, right? And there was work in that to go back and heal some traumas, to do some work, to have built that support system you're talking about with your wife and your children, to at least have that honest relationship with you, to all these things. Where would we be right now if you wouldn't allow yourself to be that person?
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of the thing is, you know, I am so thankful that you didn't allow the things that could have been obstacles to rip the world off of this, because I think Entre is the greatest thing that's in purpose right now out there. I mean, stuff's happening. This is real. This is.
Yeah, I don't want this to sound like an Entre infomercial, but I think that if we're holding Entre up as an example to say the reason you want to embrace these perspectives is because your version of this type of outcome is possible. It's all locked up in your potential self already. You just have to do it. Let's talk about integrate. Like, well, what is this impact? What is this thing that we've collaborated to do? That wouldn't have happened if you hadn't said F you to cancer and I hadn't said F you to my haters.
Yeah. And you ever heard the old saying, you just caused a funny thought, zero fucks to give? No, I got a lot of F's to give. Well, what's happening is we're not just seeing it, and that's the greatest thing, is when we see results or we say it, it's one thing, but we're seeing it on a daily basis. And that's why, heck, I'll be the first to go, no, check this out. But there's different versions out there. But the one thing I will say is when it's true and about you. And so we have so many of our graduates, they're taking not just the skill set on, but they're taking, again, their passion, their purpose on. And what this, what Integrate is this the culmination of two teachers. And I could show you what's in this box. I'm just so proud of it. It didn't matter. But the diplomas, all the artwork, the whole syllabus, everything, because those are getting sent out to all the new teachers and educators that are taking on Integrate. And so what happened is these principles, these concepts, they work. Because it's, again, it's about personal mastery, you taking yourself to them and being able to find an experience in you of them that you can then take to the world. These two teachers, they had been seeing suicide rates. I mean, COVID, this we've been now going for 2 years on this little passion project, approximately, about 18 months in full concentration. And what it was is they found it. They saw it. They saw others around them getting it. And the poorest place they were seeing an example of what was possible was in their own educational systems. And they took it on as the two of them that they kept banging on, you and I. And we didn't have this scheduled. We all both wanted to go back and make a difference in a system that necessarily didn't set either one of us up. Thank goodness we found our own way to success and are helping other people, because that didn't. And with all they're seeing in suicide rates in the, let's just call it the SEL, the social and emotional learnings, which, by the way, I've got all the new updates on what the SEL is for the whole nation, everything else for the schools, and we are one of the only programs they're proving meets all that. We repackaged some of our curriculum with their help, met all the standards, everything else, and we've gone into the California and the New York school system 2 years running. I'm sending out the white paper today. Our empirical data findings are unmatched by any other thing that they are seeing right now up to this point. I mean, I'm not claiming that they're on great things out there, that they're a little slow to discover things, in my opinion, but that's just one man's opinion. 600-year-old fear-based system in need of a tweak, I don't know. But at any rate, the success, but it's the kids, what they're seeing, that these teachers, we had a call the other night, and they're crying about what the kids are coming back to them with as far as who they see themselves as, what they're capable in the world of now, how they're making decisions for them, how they've even gone in and healed trauma within their homes. And these are the 7th to 12th graders that they're, the need for hope is so bad out there, and they're bringing it back into their own homes, everything. And we just went in and did a special program for Minnesota School District, even a conflict resolution for the schools, because the administrators and the teachers were seeing they had created a us versus them, not a we culture. And they're allowing us with the tools that we teach and what we do and what you and I have combined on to come in and recalibrate. We're going to be doing a private insight for 100 plus educators in Minnesota. We're reaching out to the veterans, the first responders. We're making a difference in not just the general entrepreneurial base, but again, if it's true and it's a universal truth above all little breakdowns, it's true. And so and these are the people, they're doing this and they're allowing us to go with them and add horsepower to it. But it goes back to everything and why I consider you one of my dearest people in my life and who I tied my vision with, is because you go out there and so many things, if you and I were great at what we did, we might be able to turn collectively 300, 400, 500,000 people onto our cause. How life-changing could that be, right? But if we could turn 200, 300, 400,000, 500,000 people onto their cause, onto their passion and their mission, and they go out and they enroll 200 or 300 educators in it, that then 600, 700 children, families, and they and all of these things. And that's where it's at, is supporting people to find their true purpose, their true vision, unlock their potential, and then have the skill set to do it. That's how we're going to get to world peace in some way. It can't be about divide and conquer anymore. It's got to be about collaboration. And it's like, if you can turn people onto their dreams, they were always gifted enough, talented enough. They don't even have to join our mission. They can go create their own. And it's been amazing. And that's where I think all this goes.
Yeah, I think that we're really drilling right into the nucleus of, I'll come from from my personal worldview, which is, I think we all recognize that society or civilization or however we want to kind of view the human social construct, like it is damaged. It has deep fissures. And I think we always think that the way to fix it is going to be some sort of top-down imposition of a better mechanism or a better method or a better way to govern or a better set of laws or a better set of ideologies that everybody can align to. And you know, I say this quote all the time, that that civilization is the process of setting man free from men. And that's Ayn Rand said that. But that the actual way to heal the world is not to get everybody to do better or do different. It's to allow everyone to fully be themselves. Because the love, the healing energy, you look at what we're describing, which is like, you know, let's say you and me and obviously, you know, many other people working to create an environment that people come into. And frankly, people come in looking to be imposed upon. They're looking for us to say, if you want this for your life, you need to do this and this and this. And instead, what they find is this unconditionally accepting, open, nurturing environment that says, you don't need us to tell you what to do. You need to get back in touch with and remove whatever's in the way of allowing you to go to the source of what's already inside you, what you already know, and what's you, not us. And then as that starts to blossom, like you said, there's literally 15 and 16 year old kids that are being given that space, and they're going back to their homes and healing their domestic environments simply by being these natural expressions of themselves. And that's creating this virality. And it's what I want everybody to hear is like, I don't need a better system. I don't need to memorize the 4-hour work week, or I don't need to, you know, become join this sect or that faith or do this or that. I mean, those are all fine things. We've already got the answers. We've just grown up in an environment that says there's no possible way we could be enough.
Exactly. We got the fix for you because you're not enough. But, you know, Jeff, this has been on my arm for 20 plus years. World peace, one mind at a time. I truly, truly want to see that happen. I have a new grandchild. I don't know if it'll happen in my lifetime, maybe not my kids, but God darn it. But the truth is NATO's not going to give that to us. Geneva Convention is not going to. A new political party is not going to give that to us. Bottom line, when each and every individual on this planet is empowered and supported to be in their gifts and their beauty, and that is enough, and they start to bring that to the world. And when you see that happen, here's the thing. Only in that state does all judgment, all prejudice, all greed, all animosity, and all anger go away, and it's in each human being in the light that they hold. And if we can get there by critical mass of enough people really start to add their gifts, love who they are, bring their brilliance to the table, see and empathy and compassion where others are at, and how do I help them and not take advantage of that, and to these places, if we can get enough people awake, aware, and alive in themselves, that's the way it's going to happen. Because all those other things that are not human byproducts, they are pushed down of humanity byproducts. They go away.
Yeah, and I think we're touching on, you know, why are we involved in entrepreneurship or entrepreneurial training? And I'm going to say this, because for most people, you know, first of all, I want to say the root of the word need is actually the German word for danger. So I say that because I believe, and in psychology, I forget who it was. It might have been Adler or Ellis. I don't know, some, you know, progenitor of modern psychology said dependency creates hostility. So if you were to say, hey, what is it that is fundamentally obstructing most people from operating in a way that gets them more aligned with themselves? I would say it's generally compromises of themselves that they feel they need to make in order to meet their basic needs.
Yep. Who do I got to be to be accepted? Who do I got to be to work at this company and get a paycheck? You know, who are they expecting me to be? Or it's the second we give the metrics to the world of my value, my worth, my contribution, everything, give it away to, let me restate that. You do want to give it away to the world and let that feedback come, but you give it away to these little pockets in the world, whether it's an employer, whether it is those 10 people, whether all these things, you know, it's none of your business what other people think of you is the best piece of advice I ever got. But think about it.
Wow. Say that again. That's good stuff right there.
Well, it's none of your business what other people think of you. And by the way, anybody notice that you don't have enough time to think a lot about other people because you got all this stuff going on in here, but it's none of your business what you think of you. Keep that out of your mind, control what's going on in it. But biggest thing I can say is, you know, I was asked by one of my mentors, or challenged with this, figure out a way that this makes sense. I would rather have the whole world against me than to have me against myself. And, you know, you think about that, or I thought about that, and it's like that movie 3000 or 300 rather, and those odds, but it's the truth. Because again, the whole world's already at adversity, as you just explained, because it needs so much, but only out of that adversity am I not giving. I'd rather have me solid in myself. And then it's funny. That's the only true effect I have on the outside world and everything. And all we got to do is get enough people awake, aware, and alive and seeing that. And by the way, there's so many people doing good work out there. We're not the only ones. But when that hits, be prepared to live in a world you really want to live in and know that you were a part of it. If you don't contribute your gifts, we're all at risk.
Yeah. How much human potential is being sacrificed in the name of being accepted by a world that at a deep level, people resent and don't want to belong to anyways?
Well, you know, that's the biggest debt on this planet right now is unutilized potential. It's bigger than the freaking billions and trillions you see being wasted, our national debt, all this. I mean, you look at what's going on in our currency system. The biggest bankruptcy on this planet is that human potential not being added.
What did the quote Krishnamurti said? It is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. And I think you described it well. Like, we're trying so hard to get acceptance, but from whom and on the basis of what? If we actually ask ourselves that and then say, does the basis for the acceptance that I'm seeking actually align with who I truly was created as or created to be? I think most of us could write off most of what we're doing. And I'm coming from myself. Like it's still a culling process, you know, to separate the wheat from the chaff of like, what are these things that I'm doing in my life that are trying to be accepted or to find belonging on the basis of things that I don't actually really agree with anyways?
Well, and it's usually out of either acceptance, the money I need, bare minimum, everything else. And then you'll be trapped there because it's only out of the full contribution of self that the byproduct of all those things now become bigger. We could say it so many different ways, but yeah.
That's why you have to learn the entrepreneurial skills, because it at least allows you to cross one thing off the list, one compromising influence off the list. If I have entrepreneurial skills and I can go out into the market and fend for myself without dependency on an employer, then I can at least cross one of the things off the list that I would be otherwise enticed to compromise who I am in the name of.
Well, and what I love, and I'll end on this, are the four P's, right? Second, I compromise personally. I'm not growing. I'm not becoming the man or woman I was destined to be. I'm not fully embracing my gifts. I'm paying prices in my professional life, right? If I am not in control of my own destiny, somebody else gets to decide when I see my kids, how many vacations I can take, what I'm worth an hour, everything else. So we have no control of our own worth. As far as, our physical, I see people all the time making goals and dreams and everything and some a day, and they're not even taking care of the physical vessel. But what would it be like to take control of your body and not have Western traditional medical tell you what's possible for your body, start to find out and live on the other side of the curve and in your purpose? You were given one. What would it be like to step into it? And if you can start to show the strength, the deservedness, the alignment we were talking about earlier in those four areas of your life, you can create the life of your dreams. And that's why I love this vision that I get to be a part of.
Here. I love it. I love that we got to bring the four P's into it. So real quick, can we close out with you letting the audience know where they can come to get deeper into your world and discover more about Todd Campbell, and also anything you want to share about how they could come be a part of these events that we're so passionate about?
100% Todd, T-O-D-D, L, make sure the L is in there. Todd Larry Campbell is what that stands for, but Todd L Campbell, CAMPBELL.com. You can check me out on Instagram, Facebook, anywhere, and in the links on those, they can get linked right into Entre Institute's website and page to go ahead and sign up for any of the events, get information about them. Please look us up. It's worth every bit of your time. Jeff, thank you so much.
Of course, man. It's been so great getting to have you on the show. I'm going to be flying up to Denver to see you in, or no, I actually, I'm driving. I take it back. Driving up in 2 days. I'll see you in a few days. We're doing another one of our events. And Todd, it's just been so great having you on the show. I'm going to say, I'm going to close by saying what I always say to the audience, which is that as great as Todd is, you, the audience, are actually the best part of this show. You're why I do what I do every single day. So glad we got to spend this time together, and I can't wait to do it again. Take care.
Hey, it's Jeff here. If you liked this episode of Unlock Your Potential, it would mean so much if you would like and share the episode on whatever platform you're listening or viewing on. And if you really like what we're doing here and you enjoy this podcast, please consider leaving a review. There is so much work that goes into these episodes, and you leaving a positive review lets us know that that work is reaching people, and especially it helps us reach other people. Your review could be the reason that someone else decides to tune in, check out this podcast, and unlock their potential and ultimately level up the quality of their life. So thank you so much for your support and for listening, especially if you like or share or leave a review. Thank you for helping us spread the word, and thank you for unlocking your potential to go make the world and your world a better place.